But anyway, it's wonderful to be here this morning, and I trust and I see that you've all found a car park this morning. A little irritation, but you know, these things come, they're part of our system, and I felt really sorry for the young man out there because people were getting a bit frustrated with him. And you know, we shouldn't get frustrated because he's doing his job. And these things happen. I know we can get disappointed and we get into habits of coming along and thinking we're just going to go in and we automatically going to drive into our car park, my car park, where I park. And suddenly that privilege has been removed from us. Well, we need to be able to adjust to that and find somewhere else and maybe walk a little bit further, which is good for us. But it's really good that we're here this morning. We've had a wonderful week away. It feels like we've been away longer. God has refreshed us so much. We actually had 8 days, and we have been down at Port Ferry with our caravan under two beautiful big between two big pine trees right on the Moyne River in Port Ferry. And it was just absolutely beautiful. And I was saying to the ladies, the first couple of days I felt a bit guilty, and then I got over it because I completely vegged, which is not like me. And apart from having to do the normal things like shower and whatever and getting a meal here and there, although we had quite a few meals out, we just completely relaxed. And it was just beautiful to feel the presence of God come over us and give us that wonderful time away. And we did think about you all. And of course it was hot, but we were blessed because we had the breeze coming from the ocean and from the river, and so it wasn't quite as hot where we were. And of an evening when we opened the caravan windows, it was really cool, except for one night John abdicated and he went and sat outside on a chair, and he was rather uncomfortable, but he said he slept a little bit, but it was really lovely. We had a wonderful time. And we have been challenged, and as Pastor John prayed for the people in the fire, but we need also to be praying for our firefighters who do a tremendous job. Many of them do it in a voluntary capacity, and they risk their lives to go. And sometimes, you know, we can expect so much of people. I hear people saying, oh, why don't the firefighters get around here, and why aren't they doing this? But unless you've really been in a fire, you don't really comprehend what it's like. It's not just the flames, it's the heat that comes from the flames and the smoke. It can be overcoming, and it's not easy to get right up close. And so they do a tremendous job, and we need to be thinking of them and praying for them and continuing to cover them so that their lives are spared as they give so much to us. Well, this morning, I don't know how you're feeling. Not yet. I don't know how you're feeling, but I trust you're feeling well and really pleased to be here because I am. And I've got some really exciting news for you this morning. God, we heard in this morning around communion and even in our worship that God is with us and he will never fail us. And in that beautiful scripture that there is nothing but nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. And, you know, we can become very despondent at times as we face difficult things. But, you see, Jesus said, in the world there will always be trials and tribulations, but I have overcome them. Jesus has overcome all things for us, for you and for me. And we need to really grasp hold of that. And this morning I want to encourage us, because this message has been stirring in my heart. A theme has been stirring in my heart for some weeks. And when we went away, and as I've shared with you before, I just love trees. And to be able to have this glorious spot, which I believe was God appointed, for us to be underneath these two huge trees and to be able to sit and look at them and just think about the things that God had laid upon my heart for us this morning. And I know, I'm confident that this world will encourage you, because it is God's word. It is not my word. And it is the word that is sown into our hearts and fired up by the Holy Spirit that generates life in us and desire and excitement. You know, we should be excited to be alive in this day and age. We should be excited every day when we wake up for the new day that God has given us and all that he has laid out before us. Instead of looking at the negatives, we need to be looking at God and seeing his purpose in our lives. So just for Jeremy, I've titled this, The Miracle in a Seed. and there is a miracle in a seed. And just as the scripture, as we look at Matthew chapter 13, 31 and 32, Jesus came and spoke in parables, and he taught, and it was wonderful. And you know, we don't realise it, but often we teach our children in parables because we take something and we explain a situation through something that people can see. And so Jesus, another parable, he put forth to them saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it had grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." And that's a really beautiful picture when you think about it. Now, as we think about a mustard seed, we realise that a mustard seed, I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed, but it's very, very small. And Jesus is using this beautiful illustration that it doesn't matter how small you are, in him you will grow and you will flourish. And if we could just see the first slide, please. And this is a picture of a mustard seed, and you will see it's on the tip of someone's finger. And so you can see it is very, very small. A mustard seed in itself is tiny, and it takes about 750 of them to make a single gram. And there are 28 grams in an ounce, and so there are 21,000 seeds to make an ounce. That's how tiny they are. And the mustard seed can grow to great heights. Now, there has been different people that have said that it's a bush. Jesus in the King James Version refers to it as a tree because it is a bushy tree, but it can grow up to 15 feet, sometimes more. And it spreads its branches out, and sometimes it is wide as it is tall. And so a mustard seed branches are used as toothbrushes in some rural communities and in Jesus' day, and it was common for people to say something was like a mustard seed in order to suggest it was very small. And sometimes, you know, we feel very small. We feel as small as a mustard seed. And that little mustard seed looks very, very insignificant when you see it sitting there on the tip of someone's finger. And I don't know about you, but there are times in my life that I've found very, very small and very, very insignificant. This seed is often ground up to make powder paste or oil for use in medicines and plasters, or also for food and cooking and things like that. And so there we have the mustard seed, and then we'll see the next slide. And we see many seeds, but God says, "You see the seeds, but I see the trees." You see, in the seed is a tree. The tree is in the seed, and that is very, very powerful. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus Christ said, God's church arose out of humble beginnings. And you see, we have risen out of humble beginnings. We were nothing, and we heard this morning how we were dead in our sin, and Jesus Christ came and gave his life. He died and rose that we might have life and have it in abundance. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, about this small seed flourishing into abundance. The next slide, thanks. And so there we see the seed, and then we see the tree. And that's a picture of a mustard tree or bush, whatever you want to call it. And all around there, you see behind it, the various shapes. They grow in all different forms and shapes. Some of them don't grow as tall and spread out really wide, and others grow quite tall. But they come from this tiny, tiny little seed. And then the next seed I want to show you is a very common seed. Does anybody know what that would be? No, it's an apple seed. And we eat apples all the time, don't we? And we don't think very much about what they are. And the next picture. So there's an apple cut in half. And those seeds on the floor are not from that apple, but generally there are about 5 seeds in each apple. And so, the next slide. If you show a person an apple and ask him what they're thinking, they would likely say they're hungry. Slice an apple open and then ask them what they see, they'll probably reply seeds. Most people see little value in seeds. They are just their apple and the loose core, they throw it into garbage. But if you cut open an apple and show it to Jesus, he would see more than just something to eat. He would see the seeds, but more importantly, he would see the trees in those seeds, and in the trees he would see more apples and more seeds. The next slide. Oh, thank you. And so entire orchards, in fact, anyone can count the seeds in an apple, but only God knows how many apples, trees, are in each seed. Next slide. And so we see there are thousands and thousands of apple trees in a seed, because we sow a seed, an apple tree grows, and it continues to flourish every year with more and more apples, with more and more seeds to sow. And so we see the importance of a seed and how God can take that seed and make it flourish. A farmer doesn't have any problems with a seed like we do. He thinks about a seed as being life. He knows exactly what that seed is going to produce. If a seed is taken and put into the ground and it is watered and given sunshine and nurtured, it will grow. A while back, my husband brought home a packet of seeds, and I hadn't seen the packet. I just saw him with the seeds, and they're very tiny. And I said, "What seeds are they?" And he said, "They're onion seeds." Now, did he know that they were onion seeds by just looking at them? No, it's because it was written on the packet they were onion seeds. And so they're very, very tiny, and you think, what could come out of that little seed? But as he planted them in the correct way and watered them and watched over them, very quickly they began to sprout up and we had onions. Now, we can't imagine, and I don't know about you, but sometimes we see things. We live in a world and we see things all the time, but we don't become conscious of what they're about. And that's how it's been with me over this last few months, quite a few months, thinking about this seed, thinking about a tree and how a tree came about, thinking about this seed and what's in the seed. And when you look at this little tiny seed, you just see a seed. But you see, God sees what's in the seed. Do you ever look at your fruit and vegetables? I have for some time now, with a different understanding. And just absolutely being amazed at these little seeds. And as I say, if they're not in a packet named, we don't know what they are. But when we see the name of them, we confidently put that little seed in the ground and we stand back and expect onions and apples and tomatoes. We put seedlings in for tomatoes, but you can put a seed. Grapes, whatever it is. Now, how does that happen? How does that happen? It's a seed. But inside that seed's DNA, God created something. And God already knew what it was going to be. Think of a watermelon. It's luscious. And oh, isn't that lovely on a hot day? Watermelon, you let it all run down your face. It's all cool and refreshing. And all these little seeds inside this watermelon. You can buy seedless watermelons now. But we need the seed to replant so that a watermelon will grow. And so you'll put one seed in and you'll grow a watermelon. You'll put another seed in, you'll grow a cucumber. And God has so beautifully arranged that for us. And we don't even stop, even with a small grape or a cherry. They all have seeds. Everything has a seed from which it grows. And as we eat it and we replant it, I know when I was a little girl, my auntie used to save her pumpkin seeds. And she used to put them on the windowsill in the laundry to dry them out to grow them. And my cousin and I got in there one day and we thought, oh, we break them open and they were like nuts. And so we ate and ate. Well, of course, we were in trouble. We had tummy aches. Even though now you can eat mustard seeds, but they are dried, pumpkin seeds, they're dried out properly and you eat them in the right quantity. But we were hungry and an empty stomach and we had too many. So they can't make you sick, but they can make you need to go to the toilet. And so we had a lovely time with these seeds. And of course she was a bit upset because she'd been drying them out to re-sow them so that they would grow her more pumpkins. Now God knows all about that. And you know, the farmer knows that. The farmer knows that when he sees seed, he knows that he's going to receive a crop. That's what he's been positioned to do. When a farmer has a plot of land, he doesn't say, I'm hoping I'm going to have wheat. He says, this is a wheat field, before he can even see the wheat. Before he even sows the seed, this is a wheat field. And he plants the wheat with full confidence that it will shoot up and there will be beautiful wheat growing up that can be harvested for flour and bread and some to be sown back in for seed. And so he sees what God sees. I began to seek, and God has given me a greater understanding of a seed. The only difference between a corn seed and a mature corn plant is time. It's time. And you see, God has that time. And he wants us to trust in him in that time. A tree is in the seed. An apple is in the seed. Everything is in the seed. In this tiny seed that we need to see. And you know, you and I, we're in the seed. When God gives seed, he's actually giving a real thing, not just a seed form. At the necessary time, as I said, it will come forward. And God has given us that. The next slide, thanks. Now there we have a cute little baby. But you see, even before that baby was born, God knew all about it, just as he knows all about each one of us. And a baby is formed from a seed and nurtured and fertilised and grows forth. The next slide, thank you. And God's word says, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. When I count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Psalm 139, 13 to 14 and 17 to 18. And you know, I've said before, if you've ever tried, it's hard enough to pick a mustard seed up and put it on, but a grain of sand is even more minuscule. And you try in amongst all the sand to find one little grain. You can do it, but it'll take a long time because it sticks to you and you've got to find this one little grain. And you see, it doesn't matter how deeply hidden we are in that sand, God sees us. We are that tiny grain. And so God's love and blessing outnumber the massive numbers of grains of sand that there are. And you see that in God's seed, he's given us everything. In God's plan and purpose for us, because each one of us have been created for a purpose. And many people today, even Christians, are saying, oh, what's my purpose? They think it's something they have to do. But it's finding who we are, who God created us to be. And you see, that little baby, if you'd put that picture up again, Jeremy, when that child is born, when you and I were born, we had everything within us for the rest of our lives. We had our heart, our brain, all the organs in our system, our blood supply, the nerve systems, everything, all our reproductive organs, everything is in that tiny baby. And all we see is a little baby. But you see, God sees a son and a daughter. God sees what he gave his son for, to die for that child to grow and be part of his kingdom. That is God's purpose. And you see, the first part of that, of course, is salvation. But then that's only the first step. We must be like the seed and we need to reproduce. We need to allow God to show us the purpose that is within us. Now, we have no trouble, as I've said before, looking at children and seeing them show different ways and different likes and different attributes. And so we think, oh, you know, I did this, maybe they'll do that. And, you know, my father was a doctor, maybe they'll be a doctor. But the Bible says we need to be looking at the child to see what God has fashioned them for. And we see that very early on with our children. They will lean towards different things. They will show different attributes, different functions that they show. You know, I was thinking about that over this week with that Leighton Hewitt and how hard he tried again and put in a great effort. And you see, I just admire his tenaciousness and his courage, because he never gives up and says, oh, no, well, I can't. He keeps trying. And he said in an interview, I know that I will know when to give up. Now, that's assurance, that he will know when it's time to give up. But he said, once I stop, that's it. I'll never do this again. So I want to do it and give it the best that I have while I have it. Now, you know, if you've read or heard the story of Leighton Hewitt, as with many others, as a very little boy, he used to get out with a racket and hit it. And so his parents saw that that was in him. But you see, God already saw that before he was born, as with each one of us. And the other thing that struck me was on the carols this year, if any of you saw it, David Hopkins, that wonderful singer, sang Jerusalem, the holy city as I love. But he came out earlier with a young boy, 11-year-old boy, and it was Todd Woodbridge's son. Now, Todd Woodbridge is a famous tennis player. And obviously he probably thought, oh, my son will play tennis. I'm sure he tried to encourage him. But as it was stated, this little boy doesn't like tennis. He doesn't want to play tennis. He's got a beautiful voice. He sings beautifully. And so David said to him, well, I've got a son, I'm a singer, and he doesn't want to sing, but he wants to play tennis. You see, we cannot, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, the way God has fashioned him to go, not the way we do. We need to find our purpose and then know how we can train and raise our children in their purpose. And the first purpose, of course, is salvation. The first purpose is to love the Lord God with all of our heart, with all of our soul and all of our mind. We are, and our neighbours ourselves, we are to know that God has a purpose for each one of us, and we are to follow that. And we need to know that we were formed for God's family, that we are for God's pleasure, and then we are to enjoy fellowship with one another, and we're created to become like Christ. And to me, that's the first thing. We are to have the character of Christ. And you see, when you look at those apple seeds, if you could have them again, Jeremy, if you look at those apple seeds, or if you look at the mustard seed or any other seed, they all look the same. Put the one up of the five with a cut open apple. That's it. Apple seeds all look the same, because that's how they're made to look. And then the apple comes, and apples, while they vary in colour, maybe in shape, but they're all apples and they're all juicy and they're all sweet and they're all yummy and they're very good for your teeth. They have another purpose. And you see, we, while we have various personalities, we are all to resemble Christ in character. He is the first fruit and we are to resemble him. We need to be focusing on what it means to be his follower, to be God's son and daughter, and know there's a resemblance. And I was even thinking this morning as we arrived, and John's first thought was, oh, they blocked the road off, and being concerned about how people were going to come in. And then he stopped and got out and started to talk to the guy, and the chap explained it all. And as John said, well, he's doing a job, it's not his fault. But you see, we can blow our witness so easily in a little thing like that. that we can allow that to make us so agitated that we start telling this man off for doing his job. And he's got nothing to do with the council. Now, don't feel terrible if you did that or if you felt that, but we need to be mindful of that, that God expects us that we have Christ-like character in every area of our lives. Now, it doesn't mean we can't say, oh, well, did we get a notice? Well, he said we should have. I hear that we didn't get a notice. But at the end of the day, so what? The fact is the road's blocked off and the job has got to be done. And later on, when we've got a nice smooth road to drive on, we'll be pleased about that. So we need to be remembering what we are showing to people. What side of our character are we showing? We shouldn't just show the character of Christ when we're in here together or when we're all meeting and having a wonderful time. We need to be showing his character more when we come against challenges and disappointments and disagreements. And so we see that we are to be Christ-like, and also that our purpose is to be shaped so that we will serve God. We need to practice ministering to one another. And also, we were made for mission, to live our lives in evangelism, to minister to the broken of this world. Now, evangelism means that some people will go overseas and minister overseas, but we have a missionary field right here where we need to be outreaching. And you see, just like the seed, we need to be making sure that we are healthy, that our seed life is healthy, that it is full, that it is plump, and expecting that as we sow it, it will grow. It will grow into something wonderful. When you think about that first picture, Jeremy, of the mustard seed, how tiny it is, and then the next one, and you see all of these seeds, they're just seeds in a hand, but then the next one, have a look into this tree. And as I looked at these pine trees, it came to me, they were a small seed. Now, do trees stop growing? No, they don't. Within a seed, it's DNA for a tree, there is a certain height. And so a tree will grow, and if it's meant to be 15, 20 feet high, that's how it'll grow. But the expansion of the trunk continues to expand. It continues to grow. And then also the branches and the leaves continue to grow and replenish. And what does that remind you of? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man or the woman who is planted by the river. And you see, if we want to grow, we need to be in Christ, to have a Christ-like character. But you see, what feeds our seed is the Word. The Word of God is the seed. And as we take that seed in, the Holy Spirit nurtures that seed and generates it into life. Noel, in worship this morning, said, you know, come and praise God, worship him, speak in tongues. Do you know, Jesus Christ left us with another comforter. And he didn't just come to comfort us. He came to enthuse us. He came to fire us up. He came to bring life. He came to open the Word. Unless you really come into the power of the Holy Spirit, you will not see the full depth of the Word of God. I remember when I was Spirit-filled, I loved the Word. I was hungry for the Word. Many of you know my background. And I learned to read, literally with John's help too, learned to read because I had no education, I was illiterate. And I learned to read by reading the Bible. And that's how I started. But when I got Spirit-filled, I was just that excited because the Word of God became amplified. It became a larger print. It was like I saw things. I'd read them before, but there was a depth of meaning. The Spirit of God opened up the Word of God and showed me a greater depth, a greater understanding. And so, as I say, we need to be Spirit-walking people. We need to be speaking in tongues. We need to be getting in touch with that power that's within us. Fire up, let it burn, the gift of God that is within you. fire it up. That's like when the seed is planted into the ground. It's not just put into hard soil. The ground is dug up. Our son rang us while we were away to see how we were going in the heat. And he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm out watering some strawberries. He said, I put them in the ground. And he said, Mum, it was just awesome. He said, Roxanne said, don't worry about it. And the night before, they got 5 millimetres of rain, which just dampened the ground. And they were very pleased about that because they're in a fire area. And just the ground being dampened helped them not catch sparks and things like that. But he went out and he was able to dig around and get the soil ready to be able to put these things in. And as he put them in and then he sprayed them, they grew. They're growing. And you see, the Spirit of God comes in and sets our hearts ready and nurtures us to receive the Word of God so it is firmly planted in us. And it becomes a living life, a living tree that never dies but continues to flourish. And with new life, new leaves, new branches. I was sharing with the ladies last year. It's hard to say last year now. But last year, we've got a sukkie tree. I was nearly going to put a picture of it up, but I passed my attention and I forgot. But we've got this huge big gum tree out the front. And it's really beautiful and it's grown. It's got a big thick trunk. And beside it was another gum tree, a different type. It's got like a silvery trunk. But this tree, I call it a sukkie tree, because it has grown up straight up without any bark or anything, and then it had a few leaves, but it leans over into the healthy tree. And so the few little, it's very, very tall, but the few little branches and leaves it's got are leaning into the healthy tree. And you can see it leans right over. And so as a result, it is now hindering the larger tree. It's still flourishing beautifully, but it's sort of doing more of its growing on that side and not growing so much on this side. And so that shows us another message in God, that we are all here to support and help one another, but we are not to lean on one another. We are to lean on Him. If this sukkie tree would only reach up to its maker, reach up to the beautiful sun and the water and trust, it would grow and flourish beautifully. But it's leaning on the other tree. And so it's a sukkie tree. Now, eventually I'm sure John will cut it down. But it's a real life's lesson that as we lean on others too much, we won't grow. That's not God's intent for us. His intent is that as we are sown and as we trust in Him, yes, we need one another. And of course, you know, I minister to many people. But it's to bring them to a place where they can stand on their own feet, not that they continue to lean. And you see, as we come here on a Sunday, we hear the Word of God faithfully preached. And it is God's Word. It isn't our Word that we speak. And we all are bringing different aspects of the Word as the Spirit of God leads us. We go to home group and we study the Word of God, which is wonderful, and have fellowship. But that's not enough. That's not enough. If a seed doesn't get constant watering and sunshine, it will not germinate. And so if we want to really grow, we need to be, the Word of God says, meditate on this Word day and night. We need to be feeding on this Word so that the Spirit within us will come alive and we will grow and we will know what it means then to stand on our own feet, because that's what ministry, spirit ministry or counselling, whatever you want to call it, is about. It's about helping people see what the issue is, bringing that to God and learning that God is the answer and helping them then to find those answers themselves, not to give it to them. And that's what God is all about with us, that we will trust in Him implicitly for everything that we do and say. A tiny seed, Jesus begins by saying, this tiny seed is the least of all seeds, but it is capable of producing a large tree or bush and herbs that people can do wonders with. As God's children, there are many times that we feel small. Whenever you feel small, think about the seed. It doesn't matter how tiny you feel today. Inside of you, there is great potential if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Inside of you, the Spirit of God is stirring and stirring and desiring to bring you to your full potential. You won't reach that today. You know, there are times when we don't see anything happening. When we first put a seed into the ground, I remember when our children were little and we used to make little seed beds for them, put them in, and particularly Ross, which we could see that he was going to be on the land. It's obvious in him from a young child. And he was always wanting to grow things, and he'd put them in the ground and then he'd be looking and waiting, and he was so impatient to see it come up. John used to say, give it time, you can't see anything, but it's happening underground. He'd just about give up. And then all of a sudden he'd be that excited because he'd see this little leaf or something shoot up. But when he put in the first lot of watermelons, he thought he's just going to see a watermelon the next day. But he did grow great big up in the northwest in the incredible heat. But John learned that it was no good just going into the dry ground. He built up garden beds up and boxed them in, up out of the ground, put soil in it. And then Ross, we've got photos of these great big watermelons that he grew. And he was a very popular kid, I can tell you. And he was very, very happy with himself. But it's the same when a woman conceives a child. She doesn't even know to begin with, but God knows. God knows that that little seed is there. God knows all about it. And you see, we just have to trust God with that. And we see in Jeremiah 1, 5 and 6, the Lord called Jeremiah when he was a young man. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you and appointed you a prophet to the nations. So God knew Jeremiah even before his body was formed in his mother's womb. And there's a lot of dispute today, we know, about whether an embryo is a human baby or not. But here in this verse and the one from the Psalms, it's very clear there is no doubt, because God says he knew Jeremiah before he was born. And in that Psalm it says that even when we couldn't be seen, God knew us. And we were fearfully and wonderfully made. When Jeremiah was a microscopic speck in his mother's womb, God knew him and consecrated him. Do you know that that's where God had his purpose for you? We think God's purpose is when we become a Christian. No, it's not. God has a purpose. Every man, woman and child born are God's desire. And God knows every one of them. And his desire is that each one would come and accept him as their saviour, so that we can flourish and live this life that God has appointed and prepared for us. I heard a story about a man, true story, who was out one day and he picked up this acorn and he put it in his pocket and he was walking around fiddling with this acorn. Anyway, he went home and he threw it in a drawer, and it was in the drawer for about 12 years. And one day he and his wife decided to move, and so they were cleaning up and he found this acorn. When they moved to the new house, it had been in that drawer for 12 years. When they moved to the new house, he thought, I'll put it in and see what happens. Guess what? It grew. It's a 6-foot tree. Now, is that an awesome lesson? If you've got family members and loved ones that you're praying for, think about that acorn. It stayed in that drawer for 12 to 15 years and nothing happened. But when it was sown, it grew. And so our job is to speak that word of life and pray that the Holy Spirit will stir up that desire within our loved ones or the one that we're witnessing to. Because we know we can speak, but it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. Amen. But you see, then, once that is ignited and it begins to germinate, there's life. There's life. That's how you and I became where we are today. Because somebody faithfully prayed, somebody faithfully spoke and opened the way, and the Spirit of God came in. And you know, that is true, because as I've told you, I had no knowledge. I'd not been brought, taken to church, nothing about God other than swearing, didn't know anything about Jesus Christ, and yet God knew me. He didn't just find me, he knew me. He knew me before I was born, he knew where I'd be today. He knows you, he knew you before you were born. You young people, when you're in school and you think, oh, nothing's happening, and, you know, I have to learn this subject and it really won't help me in my work, thank God you're there and for the opportunity to learn it. And learn all you can, because God will use it in your life eventually. God never lets anything go to waste. We need to be fruit bearers. And as I said, when a child is sown into its mother, even after you know that that child is there, nothing shows, there's nothing there for some time. But secretly, there is life growing. Secretly, there is life growing. And I don't know about you women, but when I had my first daughter, our first child, it was like I was just absolutely in shock, because it's like I couldn't comprehend that this baby, this pink, beautiful, soft baby had been growing within me. It was like she'd suddenly become a baby as she was born. But you see, the miracle of life is that had been happening while I was just waiting. Philippians 1:6 says that we should be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ, if you wait on him. So our life is like a seed. If you take a walk in the park and look around as I do and see all of the beautiful things around, and we marvel sometimes at the beauty, don't we, of trees and flowers and colour, well, marvel about yourself, because you are the greatest miracle. God has sown seeds and they nurtured to feed us, and many of them clothe us and do all sorts of things, and some are just there to bring beauty, to be pleasant for us. But you see, if you want a miracle, look in the mirror. I'm a miracle. You're a miracle. And I was sown by the hand of God and nurtured by the power of his Spirit for good works, that I might be pleasing to him in all of my ways. Inside us, there is unlimited potential. Do you know that? And this morning, that's what I want you to see. I don't want you to look, the first slide, Jeremy, and see yourself as this tiny little seed. I want you to know what's inside of that seed. And so I want you to know that while you might feel very small and insignificant, inside of you is a powerhouse. You know, the word says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. He lives in you. Do you know that? Do you walk around of a day thinking about that? We're coming now, or we've entered a new year, and we're getting ready for the 2nd of February when Pastor Chris outlines the vision for the year, and we're all excited as the oversight about that vision. And it's our prayer that you will take that vision on board, that you will see the heart behind that vision and see and understand by the power of God what it really means. But you see, it can only happen if you are willing. It can only happen if you open up and if you say, God, I want to live for your purpose. My purpose is, Lord God, that you created me that I might bring you glory. And not just by being saved and being able to say to people, oh, I'm a Christian. People need to say in my life that I live as a Christian. I need to be displaying the power of the Holy Spirit. As Noel said this morning, if you speak in tongues, speak in tongues. It's not just a matter of thinking, oh, well, I can speak in tongues. It energizes you. You see, the power of God, the kingdom of God is within us. We need to release that kingdom. The same as I've said many times, we can suffer physical things with our body. And we can center on those physical things and we look at the outside. The healing comes from the inside. It's the Spirit of God. And as we focus on the Spirit of God, he outworks on the outside. And many, many Christians today are waiting for God to bring something. He's already given it to you. He's given you everything that you need. He wants you to discover it. He wants you to be aware of it. He wants you to know the glorious thing that he's done and to know this unlimited potential. Just finishing off, David was a mustard seed. He was the youngest in his family. He was the smallest, and he was ignored and given the job that nobody else wanted. But you see, while he was there sitting under the trees and the bushes, looking after his sheep, God was developing this seed. He was developing it in ways that David could never have even imagined in his wildest dreams. He was doing this. And so he bought David. And you see, because it was God sowing in, when David came to King Saul and said, "Let me go out and slay the giant, let me go out," David knew who he was, where he was, and why he was. And so he wouldn't wear the king's armour. He went out with what God had sown into him. We can't do and try to emulate what other people do. We can only do what God has sown in me. And if I use that, it's powerful. And so David went out with his little stones and sling, and he slayed the giant. And he killed the giant. And he became a great king who honoured and served God all of his life and wrote beautiful scriptures that we can read today to encourage us. "For you, Lord, are my shepherd, I shall not want." If God is your shepherd, if Jesus is your shepherd, you don't want for anything. If you focus on him, if you focus on the exterior, you can find lots of things you can say you want, but do you need them? Find your need in him. Also, Gideon was a mustard seed. He was from the smallest family in the smallest tribe of the nation of Israel, but God took him and used him as a great military leader. And now we look at us. We were dead in our sin. But we were under death, sentenced. We were headed for hell. But Jesus Christ was willing, in obedience to his Father, who loved us so much because we are his creation. God loves his creation. And so Jesus gave his life, knowing he would rise again and take with us to eternity. God in his grace looked beyond all that we were, and he saw who he'd made us to be. That's what we have to take hold of. And as we get a hold of that, we will live a victorious and a fruitful life. You see, being fruitful isn't just getting up in the morning and getting about our jobs and trying not to swear and trying not to get angry and coming to church on Sunday and whatever. It is glorifying God with our whole being, knowing when we rise up in the morning that God has given us a new life to live for him. To glorify him in everything we do, whether we're cleaning house, whether we're scrubbing floors, whether we're washing cars, whether we're selling, whether we're teaching, whatever we're doing, it must be in here. True story, in a cemetery in Hanover, Germany, is a grave on which is placed a huge slab of granite and marble cement. It's cemented and fastened with heavy staple clasps. It belongs to a woman who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Yet strangely, she directed in her will that her grave be made secure, that there'd be no resurrection. Can you believe that? Now, this is true. She was so bitter. She was so bitter, and she believed that she could lock, the same as reminds us that the army and the leaders thought if they put the stone across the tomb, Jesus could not rise. And so the resurrection couldn't reach her. On the marker are inscribed these words: "This burial place must never be opened." But over years, a seed that was under the ground began to grow. And it covered over the stone, and it began to grow and grow. And slowly, it pushed its way through the soil and out from beneath them. And as the trunk enlarged, the great slabs were gradually shifted so that the steel clasps were wrenched from their sockets. A tiny seed had become a tree that pushed aside a stone. And that's a true story. So it doesn't matter what man says, God will have his way. And you see, even in pictures, there may be buildings. You can go around the city where there's been buildings and they demolish them, and it's this great huge slab of concrete. But once the building's demolished, up through the cracks grows life, green. The power of God is above all things, and we need to know that in him we are above all things. We can grow to an unusual height, not in physical size, but in spiritual stature. And that's what I believe God wants for each one of us, that we might grow into the fullness of Christ Jesus, that we might know that we are seated in heavenly places with him, that the word of God says in Ephesians that the eyes of your understanding might be opened, that you would comprehend the depth and the breadth and the measure of the love of God which is in Christ Jesus your Lord. And this resides inside of you. So don't see yourself as a little seed. Don't see yourself as a small, incapable person when you stand up against somebody or somebody stands up against you to try and ridicule you or put you down. When you come to your loved one bearing the love of Jesus and you feel mocked, don't feel small. Stand strong and know that even though you may be mocked, even though there may be an outburst, something is going in. Without reaction, nothing enters. I learned that a long time ago with my mother. Whenever I would speak, she would always come against me. And John said to me, if there's no spark, there's no fire. She's being confronted. She's being convicted. So hang in there. Keep in there. But we need to do it in love. We need to show love. But again, if we see someone in a fire, we want to snatch them out. Don't be reluctant. Don't hold back. Know that within you, the seed, is this flourishing, enormous life that will give life. And you see, the tree is there to give birds shelter, to give others shade. We were so thankful of the shade of these beautiful pine trees. And the birds that came and settled there and hid in its shade and its comfort were just beautiful. So this morning, I would like to pray for you that God will show you your potential, that he will show you that inside of you is unlimited potential, and that you, over time, will grow in that potential, that you will not hold back, that you will not faint, you will not become weary. But we need to ask, how does my life compare to the actions of the mustard seed? I want my life to count for something. Father God, I just thank you and praise you this morning for your word. I thank you, Father, it is your word, it is not my word. I thank you that your word is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. I thank you that your spirit takes your word and breathes life into all that hear it. And I pray, Father, that each person here this morning might be greatly encouraged, Lord, and have their eyes open to see things differently, to see things more clearly, and to know and understand, Lord, your purpose for them, that each one of us would never tire, Lord, of seeking you, of knowing you, of fulfilling all that you have called us to do. For you have called each one with a different purpose. Our first purpose is to glorify you, but the outworking of that in the different aspects of our lives are many and varied. One is not more important than the other, but it's that we do it well, so that we will hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. Father, we thank you and praise you for this power that raised Christ from the dead, that's alive within us, that we might seek that power, that we might outwork that power in our lives, knowing the fulfillment and the overcoming and the victory that you have given each one of us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you all.